Hey, good morning. I'm Natalie Frisk, and I am a pastor at the Meeting House. I am the lead pastor of the Meeting House Brantford, and I also get to keep my finger in the pie of kids and youth curriculum as the curriculum pastor. It's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning at West Heights. I hope that I'm a familiar face to many of you, as I've definitely spoken at West Heights before and have a fondness for your community. Just think that you have some lovely people there. So good morning to you and to my friends who are there. I want to just pray together as we begin. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the West Heights community and for what you are doing in and through them. God, for the family that I have there, I give thanks and I pray that you would be welling up hope inside of them today, and that they would be encouraged in this time together, and that they would be reminded that the hope that they have is in you. We love you. Thank you for loving us and calling us your beloved children. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So, I don't know if you guys do this, but I used to try to do New Year's resolutions, and I was so bad at them. I remember doing them in school when I was younger. You go through and you make New Year's resolution, and by like January 4th, you've totally failed it and you feel like a failure and it's horrible. But the adult that I am, I would repeat that process year after year after year, and it was horrible. And so finally, I can't remember who told me that they ask God each year, they pray and ask God each year for a word, a theme. And so I thought, that's lovely, a theme, a word that can maybe set a tone for the year. And I wasn't sure how this was going to work, and I wasn't sure if I'd get clarity on the theme that God would have for me each year. And so I prayed. And the first time I did it, I had a word fairly quickly, and I was quite surprised. And then the following year, I did it, and I didn't have a word until part of the way through February. And I just started to learn that God's timing wasn't exactly on the calendar year for me, but that He would set a theme for me each year that was quite helpful. And so one year, my theme was receive. And I gotta tell you, I still am not great at receiving from others, whether that's a gift or words of affirmation or just whatever it is that they would like to give to me. I always find I'm very awkward at receiving and just saying thank you for the gift that I've received from someone. And so when God gave me receive as my theme for the year, He really wasn't kidding. He was not messing around. He had some plans lined up. And so that year, he I can only say that he arranged for me a trip to Spain to walk part of the Camino de Santiago. And that was a trip that was actually given to me by a couple of individuals. So I had to learn to receive graciously, and without too much awkwardness. And that was a big theme year for me. And it really taught me that there was something in this thing that God was kind of setting a tone for me each year. So this year, honestly, very early on in the year, and I'm gonna say like within the first couple of days of January, I felt very clearly, very concretely, that my word for this year was hope. And I can't help but think of the crazy gong show kind of a year that we've had so far. And for God to have given me hope as my theme seems just so funny and reminds me of God's great sense of humor. And yet, He has given me the theme of hope for a reason. And I think part of that reason is to share with you, is to share with others the reason for the hope that I have. And I think that the reality is that we live in a very hopeless culture and a very hopeless time. So many people have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, no idea what's going to happen next week, next month. We're in this place, in this space that it's easy to just let go of any hope for things to turn around, for things to look better. And I think that that's a really temporal view of what hope looks like. Because of course we know that hope is eternal. And as I was, you know, I do this when I'm looking into what I'm going to be speaking on. I'll start with an idea and it kind of grows, and then I do a whole bunch of Google searches to see, to draw connections, and it's all part of the crazy process of bringing together what I believe God is shaping to, for me to deliver to you. And as I was just Googling hope and some quotes surrounding hope, I stumbled into this quote by Desmond Tutu that I absolutely love. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. I'm going to say that again. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And how true is that? When we think about Christ as our hope, we know that he is present with us. He is present in us despite all the darkness that surrounds us. The darkness of our culture, of the fear, the darkness of the times that we're living in, the darkness of pain or sickness or loneliness. Hope, the hope we have in Christ, is the awareness that the light is with us. God with us. Hope within us. And so I want to read for you a passage that I'm sure will be familiar to many of you from the book of Romans. And Paul is writing to the Romans. And he says in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, he says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. This hope will not lead to disappointment." I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. Hope does not lead to disappointment. Our hope in Christ will never lead to disappointment. The Holy Spirit that lives in me, lives in you, lives in all Christ followers. And with the Holy Spirit within our lives, we have this pocket, flare of hope within us, always. But I recognize, and I think I'm learning this year, I think this is part of this theme that God has for me this year, that as activist and organizer Mareme Kamba once said, hope is a discipline. Hope is a discipline. I had not really thought of it that way before, but that we have to continue to orient ourselves towards hope. It's easy for us to get cynical, for us to get hardened, for us to get pessimistic, for us to think that this just all is the worst and it's never going to change, to just resort to turning inward and even buying into the darkness that surrounds us. But when we choose the discipline of hope, we are choosing to orient ourselves towards Christ.
Our hope is in Him.
So when we turn ourselves in the direction of hope, when we align our hearts, we are aligning our hearts with Christ, because it's in Him that we have all our hope. In the book of 1 Peter, there's some gold nuggets from Peter about hope. In 1 Peter, verses 3 to 9, we get this great realignment. And I think that, honestly, if you ever feel the need to, find your, defibrillators for hope in your life, I would say turn to the book of 1 Peter. Let me read for you this passage. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope.
A living hope. We don't have any dead hope here. We don't have any dying hope.
Sick hope. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, for me.
Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So there's a word for us. Right now we may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, but it won't last. The verse goes on to say, these have come so that the proven genius of your faith. Sorry, genuineness of your faith. Although I like genius of your faith. Let's add that in. Genuine and geniusness of your faith. The genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Though you have not seen Him, you love Him.
And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we consider that posture that people are living in, and when we can step into the pain of life right now and bring hope, bring light, bring lift, bring joy into the mix, bring laughter into the mix. There's so much hope in laughter, because I think it expresses our joy, and joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and that points to the hope that we have in Christ. We can use all these things to point to the hope that we have, and hope is so needed right now. I'm going to take us through one more passage, and it is also from the book of 1 Peter, from 1 Peter chapter 3. If you happen to have a Bible and you want to read along, 1 Peter 3, I'm going to read from verses 13 to 19.
Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed.
Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened.
Do do not be frightened. In whatever you're living and experiencing right now, do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord.
Always be prepared to give an answer
to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is for God's will,
to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous,
to bring you
to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits.
He gave hope. He brought hope. He brought good news. He, filled with the love of God,
brings us hope,
brings us light, brings us life. I have hope
because I have Christ.
I bring hope with me where I go because in me dwells the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and that allows
me to bring hope. And it allows you to bring hope too.
You may not feel like being a hope-filled person, you may not feel like it. It may not
feel possible right now or often in this time.
But then we get to redirect and steer our hearts to Christ again.
And that's the discipline of choosing hope.
The discipline of being hopeful means we turn our hearts to Christ, and
in Him our hope is renewed. We're reminded of the hope we have in Him.
He doesn't promise us that life is going to be easy. Quite the contrary sometimes. He invites us to take up our cross and
follow Him.
And our hope is in that. What a mystery.
When we
lose our life for His sake, then we'll find them. Then we'll receive it. When we surrender the things that we think are important
for
the things that He shows us are important, we will find hope. When we surrender our will to
His,
we will find hope. When we choose generosity and
joy and gratitude, we'll find hope.
So where do we go with this today?
Where do we kind of send off our time together today? Well, I want to challenge you to a couple of different things.
I want to challenge you to focus in on the hope that you have in Christ.
And
sometimes in order to do that, in choosing that discipline, we need to figure out how to reorient our hearts
towards Christ.
And so
I want to encourage you today to find some time and some space to
simply make a list of gratitude, of 10 things or 10 people that you're thankful for. Because as we steer our hearts towards gratitude,
we oftentimes realize that we are thankful for the one who gives us those gifts,
of people or the things in our lives. The gratitude turns us towards the giver of those things. And when we focus our eyes on the giver,
we see Christ and we see our hope in Him.
In the passage from 1 Peter 1,
right at the beginning of verse 3,
it begins, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Praise be.
rejoice. We give praise. We give thanks. And when we do that, the focus comes
off of us and our circumstances, and we are reminded of the great hope we have in Him. Our posture is lifted, our load is lifted, and we're reminded of the great hope we have in Christ. So I want to encourage you to take some time to reflect and have gratitude. And
as you have gratitude,
take time to praise Him.
And as you take time to praise Him, find light and life and hope in Christ. Back to that Desmond Tutu quote that says that
hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. My second challenge for you is a bit different. It's a bit
maybe stranger, maybe a bit experiential. But I encourage you to sit in a dark room and find a place, maybe it's in your basement or someplace, space that's quite dark, and simply light a candle and see how the light
permeates the darkness. It's my prayer that as you do that, you'll be reminded of the way in which Christ breaks through our darkness, your darkness. That you would be reminded of the fact that when we were still sinners, He died for us. That He brings us not just out of sin, but to God. He brings us close to God, in relationship with God. He brings us into the divine love. And that as you sit in the light of that candle, you would be reminded that daily you sit in the light of Christ and you bask in His hope, the hope that He brings. And in a world that feels very hopeless, that you not only are filled with hope, you are a hope bearer, a hope bringer. You have the ability to bring hope to those who truly need it
in the world around us today. In dark places where it's
lonely and it's painful and mental health is a significant issue for many people, you can bring hope. You can bring comfort. You can bring joy. You can bring light. You are a light in the darkness because you have the light of Christ within you. We are meant to bring light, to be light bearers in a dark world. Jesus
passes His light on to us
by way of the Holy Spirit and says, "Tag, you're it." And we're it. And while we get to grow in and experience His deep, deep love for us and all people, we get to feel and sense and know that His hope is bubbling up within us. And it's my prayer today that as you ruminate on the love that He has for us and the hope that we have in Him, that you would become a hope bearer, a hope bringer into your neighborhoods, to your families, to your communities, and that a world that does seem pretty hopeless would have a little bit more hope in it as a result of you and your relationship with Jesus. Hope is a discipline. We can reorient ourselves towards it, or we can allow ourselves to become more hardened and more cynical. I think we really do have a choice in this. So my prayer is that you choose hope, and that you're always ready to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ. West Heights, it's been a blessing to be with you this morning, and I pray that you would find your hope, your joy, and your peace
as you root yourself deeply in Christ today and always.
Thanks, Natalie, so much for sharing with us this morning. You leave us with great insight to ponder for the week ahead and the season that we find ourselves in. Let's pray together that we might be aware of places where we can bring hope and light into our communities and our families, and even people who maybe aren't super connected to us as well. Will you join me in prayer today? God, just thank you for your continued presence in our lives, and that you bring hope, and that you are hope, and that you instill that hope and that love in us, God. And I pray that as we go about our week, that we may find people and encounter ourselves in moments where we can be that to the people around us, God. Pray that you would give us courage and boldness and peace about where you're calling us to do that, God. And I pray that you'll be with us throughout our week and all that we do, that you will guide us and walk with us. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. Now, if you're free and you'd love to join us, we have our after church virtual foyer happening now. You can click on the link in the comments and join us for a time of sharing together after the service.